Yes, the scripture this morning coming from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 42, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 7. These are the very words of the living God. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. Let's pray. Father, Lord, truly this morning you are our rock of ages. Your greatness is beyond understanding as the King of kings and Lord of lords. And yet in you, Lord Jesus, we have a friend, the Father, the elder brother. So Spirit, as you lead us in this time, would we realize how desperate we are to walk with you more closely, to love you more deeply, and to know you much better for your glory and our good. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in case you don't know me, again, I'm Steve Thompson. I serve as one of the elders here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church. And I'm substituting for our main pastor of preaching, Pastor Dan Crevillion, who is recovering from surgery last week for a ruptured Achilles tendon. So he's doing quite well, and we wish him well as he recuperates from that injury. So I have the privilege today of speaking from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 42, verses 1 through 7. And the title of the message is Needy for Jesus, the Least, Lost, and Lonely. And in Scripture, there's an account of a lady named Rahab, who was a prostitute that God saved from a certain death in the city on a verge of invasion by the army of Israel. There's an account of Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector who defrauded people of their money. And also in Scripture, there's the account of Saul, later to be the Apostle Paul, who was a Christian hater, who even watched in approval as a young man named Stephen was stoned to death for his trust in Jesus. So what do Rahab, Zacchaeus, and Paul have in common? They were the least, the lost, and the lonely. And furthermore, God in Christ came into the messiness of their lives. They were people needy for Jesus, people just like you and me. And God doesn't give up on people needy for Jesus no matter what. He still rescues people like you and me through his perfect, gracious, merciful, liberating love. He bids us run to him and live. Now, who are these least, lost, and lonely people? You're probably thinking, well, that's not me. No way. But think about it. You know, we often say, they're those other people. They're the people who live in a cardboard box underneath a bridge. They're the ones who just can't make it in this world. They're the ones who live in healthcare facilities or run-down neighborhoods. They're the ones somebody else needs to take care of because we certainly don't want to do it. But in reality, they're not those other people. They're us. We are them. Yes, we need to see ourselves as one of the least, the lost, and the lonely. Now think about this, church. We're either now or have been in one or all of those categories, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual. And in fact, the truth of the matter is that we're all one of the least because we're all spiritual beggars and paupers. As descendants of Adam and Eve, we're all born spiritually lost, separated from God. And we're either now or have been spiritually lonely, constantly searching for something or someone to fill our loneliness. Even the Apostle Paul, a zealous Pharisee, a learned man, spoke of himself as one of the sons of disobedience, following the course of this world, a child of wrath like the rest of mankind. That was before God in Christ changed his life. And when God changes a person's life, he or she is transformed forever. In Christ, you see, the least are welcomed, the lost are found, and the lonely are loved. That's the good news message of the cross. And yes, the good news message of the gospel is that Jesus makes the difference in lives of the emotional, physical, and spiritual misfits, don't-wanters, outcasts, and losers. And so today there's 3 points that I believe we're in dire need of paying close attention to. Here they are, the 3 points I want us to take away from this message about the least, the lost, and the lonely, that they are, first of all, loved by Jesus. Second, liberated by Jesus. And third, needy for Jesus. But before we look at those 3 points, I want us to take a moment to apprehend what God says in his word about the soul of man being needy for that perfect loving and liberation which is found only in Jesus. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. That's the first portion of our text where God inspired the prophet Isaiah to write of Jesus, his chosen servant. Listen to this, Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. And so there's no doubt, according to the text, that only Jesus, God's beloved Son, is his chosen servant to uphold, to delight in, to be the one whom the Holy Spirit exalts, to be the one who is righteous and just. Only Jesus is the one in whom all the promises of God find their yes. He is the supreme treasure to delight in, because in him dwells the fullness of love, compassion, grace, and mercy. Think about this, church. No other one but Jesus loves so deeply and liberates so fully people like you and me from their sins for all eternity. And so I'll say it again. That's the good news message of the cross, which brings us to our first point, that the least, the lost, and the lonely are loved by Jesus. And let's take a look at our text again, Isaiah 42, verse 3, which says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Picture this in your mind, if you will, that a bruised reed is analogous with those who are weak and easily shaken. Yes, the Lord is tender and kind, not desiring to break what is already fragile, but to bind up the brokenhearted. And this picture of a faintly burning wick, it's likened to those who need a spark to ignite a flame in their life. And Christ is the oil of grace that will do such. He does not desire to put out a faint flicker of hope, but to be the catalyst for a brightly burning flame of faith. And don't think this only applies to the spiritually lost. It also applies to me and any of you who would call me a brother in Christ. You see, we see the compassion, the grace and mercy of the Lord here, because he will always faithfully do what is just and right, no matter what. And to emphasize this, I want us to take a look again from the book of Isaiah. This is chapter 61, verse 1, which describes Jesus as God's anointed one, the lover and liberator of the least, the lost, and the lonely. Isaiah 61, verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Charles Wesley summed Isaiah 61, verse 1 up very well. And by the way, Charles Wesley wrote over 6,000 hymns, and he so well describes the theme of Isaiah 61 in this hymn titled, "And Can It Be?", which we sing sometimes here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church. Here's one of the stanzas. It goes like this. "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." Yes, God is in the business of rescuing the least, the lost, and the lonely from the dark dungeon of sin and misery. Scripture says he transfers the ones he rescues to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And in fact, Scripture is filled, chock full of examples of Jesus' love, compassion, and tenderheartedness toward the lame, blind, deaf, lepers, beggars, prostitutes, prisoners, and demon-possessed. And some of you may recall the account of Jesus cleansing a man of leprosy. Scripture describes the man as saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And how about the prostitute who was crying on Jesus' feet, and she wiped the tears with her hair and then anointed his feet with oil? Jesus said, "Her sins, which were many, they were forgiven by Jesus." You see, God wants us to take a long look at that leper and prostitute. He wants us to see ourselves in them. People needy for the healing touch of Jesus. People needy for clinging to and crying at the feet of Jesus. People needy for new hope and a new life in Christ. That's who Jesus is for the least, the lost, and the lonely. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, here's what God says about that. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. You see, God's love is so great that Jesus was crushed and afflicted by God to set needy people free from sin. Jesus took on the sin. Jesus was punished and smitten by God for the sake of people needy for gospel-saturated grace, mercy, and love. That's what Scripture says. And because of his great love, the least, the lost, and the lonely don't have to remain that way. He liberates completely, which brings us to our second point, that the least, lost, and lonely are liberated by Jesus. So I'll say it again. The least, the lost, and the lonely don't have to remain that way. The person who trusts Jesus, who receives him by faith alone through God's grace alone, is liberated from the power of sin and death. And only Jesus can do that. Only he can do that. Only Jesus can heal the lame, the blind, the deaf, and lepers. Only Jesus can change the lives of beggars and prostitutes. Only Jesus can set the prisoners and demon-possessed free. And here's another part of the text, verses 6 and 7 out of our text from Isaiah chapter 42. God's word says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. Some of you may recall a few years ago in June of 2018, a Thai boys' soccer team and their coach were trapped in a cave there in Thailand when the entrance became flooded by monsoon rains. And over 2 weeks elapsed before these boys and their coach were rescued. Over 2 weeks before they were rescued, were liberated from this dungeon-like cave by a valiant rescue effort. However, their liberation came with a price. One of the rescuers died in his attempt to deliver oxygen tanks to the boys. You see, church, liberation always comes with sacrifice. And God provided the preeminent liberator from the darkness of sin in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' perfect sacrifice gives abundant life to sinners like you and me. Jesus, the one who knew no sin, became sin, Scripture says, so that many would be welcomed by God. He became a curse, Jesus did, when he hung on the cross, so that many lost sinners would be found. Is that you today? Have you been found by Christ himself? He bore the load of shame and disgrace in his body on the cross. His ugly wounds provide beautiful healing for the sickness of sin. Liberation always comes with sacrifice. And remember earlier in this message, we talked about the fact that Jesus' love is compassionate and tender-hearted. And so the text states that Jesus will not break a bruised reed or quench a faintly burning wick. Do you feel like that today? A bruised reed or a faintly burning wick? Because of God's great love, liberation from sin was perfectly accomplished in Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. Jesus was bruised and crushed by God. Jesus' life was quenched by God so that sin's dark stain would be cleansed by Christ's blood. Here's Isaiah chapter 53. Let's take a look at verses 5 and 6, and then the first part of verse 10. Here's verses 5 and 6. First of all, listen closely, church. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then the first part of verse 10, again here in Isaiah chapter 53. Listen closely. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. Liberation always comes with sacrifice. And that's why we're all needy for Jesus, which brings us to our third and final point. And this text from Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 7, is all about being needy for Jesus. In fact, if you think about it, the entire Bible is God's incredible account of man's neediness to be rescued, restored, and reconciled only through the Lord Jesus Christ. If it weren't for the Lord Jesus being God's chosen servant, there would be no loving and liberating the souls of man from sin. Rahab, Zacchaeus, and the Apostle Paul could all relate to being needy for Jesus. How about you and me? And specifically, take the example of Zacchaeus. He was certainly needy for the Lord. Zacchaeus was spiritually lost because he didn't know Jesus yet. In addition, he was probably one of the least and the lonely because he couldn't relate to the common man. He was very wealthy, and plus that, he took people's money. He was an outcast, a cheater, a swindler. And yet, Zacchaeus was compelled and propelled by the love of Jesus, and his life was liberated from the power and corruption of sin. And get this. After Jesus turned Zacchaeus' life upside down, he gave half of his goods to the poor and restored four times, Scripture says, what he had defrauded anyone. Salvation came that day to the house of Zacchaeus because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10 says about that. Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said to him, to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now let me ask a question here. What about those of you who are listening to this message who haven't got a clue of what I'm talking about? Or maybe you do know what I'm talking about, and you have a form of godliness, but you deny the power of it. To you, the gospel is merely religion. There's not a relationship with Jesus Christ as friend, Lord, and Savior. You know what the Bible says about that? That you're spiritually lost and separated from God. But you don't have to stay that way. I'll say that again. You don't have to stay that way. And could it be that today the Holy Spirit is laying the kindling that will burst into an eternal flame of salvation through a life-changing decision to receive Christ and trust in Him by God's grace alone, through faith alone? If you haven't trusted Christ, today is the day of salvation, Scripture says. Today is the day to receive Jesus and live. Trust him and know freedom from sin because he is the lover and liberator of the souls of man. That's really good news. That's really good news. That's why I'm up here today preaching, because the good news is the gospel. And now what about those of us who are trusting in Christ already? Has the good news of the gospel been so compelling that we're propelled by the very Spirit of God to impact the church, to impact our community and the world for Jesus' sake? Scripture says that the Pharisees grumbled when they saw Jesus going to be with Zacchaeus. They grumbled. If the Pharisees were to come into La Crescent Evangelical Free Church, would they grumble that we're too much like Jesus in ministering to the least, the lost, and the lonely? If we were accused of ministering in Jesus' name to the emotional, physical, and spiritual don't-wanters, misfits, outcasts, and losers, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Scotty Smith, a pastor, author, and professor of theology, says this in his daily devotional book, Everyday Prayers. Quote, "It would actually be a good thing if our churches were places where Pharisees and older brothers," and he's referring to the older brother in the story of the prodigal son, "it would actually be a good thing if our churches were places where Pharisees and older brothers criticized us for all of the sick people, broken sinners, and cultural misfits who gathered there. May we grieve when your welcoming heart, Jesus, is not extended as you intend." So I've got an exhortation for us to be Christ-centered. And one of the facets of being Christ-centered is displaying the welcoming love of Jesus. Scripture speaks very clearly of giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. So what does that look like? Perhaps that would be visiting a prisoner in jail, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, reading a book to a child, visiting an elderly shut-in, sharing the gospel at every opportunity. Jesus says, in fact, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of these, to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." So my exhortation, church, let's be Christ-centered. Let's be compelled and propelled by the word of the cross. Let's be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. Scripture states that if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let the world see faith reflected in good works, so that our Father in heaven might be glorified. The Lord Jesus Christ glorified the Father when he stepped into the messy lives of the poor, the outcast, and the misfits. And you know, that's really hard work. It's a challenge. And whether we'd like to admit it or not, we'd all probably rather be around those who are familiar, who are safe and lovable. That's easy. But what happens when Jesus calls us to minister to a sleazy prostitute or a money-loving tax collector or a zealous persecutor of the church? Would we offer a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, or a cold shoulder, because those people don't fit in? So I'd like to conclude by sharing Psalm 34, verse 18 with you. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Are you brokenhearted and crushed in spirit today? Perhaps you're in a difficult situation that has left you feeling bruised, broken, and hanging on by a thread. Maybe the darkness and despair surrounding the circumstances you've experienced make you feel like you're in a dungeon with no way out. Here's good news. There's hope for all of us. And his name is Jesus, God's chosen servant. Because he binds up the wounds of the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. A bruised reed he will not break. A faintly burning wick he will not quench. He sets the captives free from the dark dungeon of sin and despair. He is the lover and liberator of the least, the lost, and the lonely. That's us. We are them. We're all needy for Jesus. So let's run to him and live. Let's pray. Father, Lord, in the name of you, Lord Jesus, we pray for the eyes of our hearts to be open to the truth of how needy we are for you. We are needy for your presence more than for our circumstances to change. We are needy for your assurance that even on our worst day, for the one who is in Christ, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Spirit, as we have heard your words, would you guide us to those who, much like ourselves, are lost, lonely, and give us a desire to serve a cup of cold water to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand as we